The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you. In which hour...
Is that it? It was 9-1. Billion degrees out there and 400% humidity is not exactly helping.
It's like being trapped in a fat man's armpit on a Stairmaster.
That is way worse than the image I normally go with.
Yeah. Where did that one come from, man?
I was being good. I normally say ass crack.
You don't normally use either of those.
Sure.
Humidity is our close and personal friend today. So.
Indeed.
It's welcome to Christmas in the Antipodes.
Yeah, sit down and shut up. Hear the song Dreaming of a White Christmas? It's not for nostalgia, it's because it might actually be cold.
We would like a snowbank to roll in. Somebody mail us one. That would be nice.
Yes, if our listener could mail us a snowbank.
Okay, so this is a
festive
mini topic
for
discussion. So
we still have Ben, Crowley,
Kev, mostly.
And Tonya.
Kev, I'm technically here.
Kev is turning into a fluid right now. He's pouring himself out of his chair.
I'm awake.
No, you're not.
Dude, we were amusing ourselves by putting hats on you and you couldn't figure out what we were doing. You're not awake.
True.
So I guess the genesis of this particular idea was Craig's diabolical suggestion that we have a campy, kitschy Christmas episode in the middle of a Staygate University game, which I was all for, and somebody...
You should have said something!
Well, somebody who actually has some buy-in to faith and so forth kind of scotched that, and I've got to say, that's fair enough.
I don't think she did so on grounds of faith. I think she did so on the grounds that it was tacky and she didn't want to be involved. Which
it was much more of a,
Yeah, I know.
Tone to the email in question.
It's not because religion, it's because she didn't want
to. I know. Because it's a bad idea.
But she had that as a pretty strong backup, so I thought it was... That's all good.
So this is about...
holiday games, effectively.
Holiday-themed games.
True.
Yeah. So games themed around particular holidays rather than games to do on a holiday, which would be any game.
So if we do kind of a melange of just kicking this around and our normal ideas from the butt crack, kind of what I say? Oh.
You said ideas from the butt crack. Do you mean items from between the cushions?
Items from between my cushions.
You leave your cushions out of it. Sorry, once the show's ready again, I know I ask every time, but...
I'm not sure we have one. We keep looking up what we're not allowed to say and can't actually...
I'm going to assume our rating is explicit, simply because it means it's easier on the editor.
And because we use all the swears.
We kind of do.
Even things like my trick, where I don't technically say any bad words, I just say things that upset people.
And yet they let me teach, who knows? Well, if Happy Jacks can get away with using the word motherfucker in their intro music, I think we're basically okay.
Fair enough.
Props to Happy Jacks, by the way.
Yes, cuties.
What was I saying? Yes. Yeah, if we do kind of a melange of what we think generally about Christmas or other holiday-themed games, and if we have ideas, pitch them.
I came up with a few for the Stargate game. Many of them are dreadful.
So you stopped us before.
That is true.
Are these things that you can tell us, or are these things that might crop up at times that aren't actually Christmas?
No, these are things I can say. The cheesy Christmas episode one was either going to be the team travel to a world in which you've got a populace living in effectively winter wonderland type terrain. You've got the trees, you've got the picturesque valley, you've got the snow, and you've got the horrifying alien parasites pretending to be Santa and or Krampus.
Oh, you...
Or both.
A gold Saint Nick.
A gold Saint Nick.
You are going to hell.
I think that's awesome.
I don't know. It goes some way to explaining how he manages to deliver things to everybody in one night, because he can just,
advanced,
you know, teleport
gold
it there.
Technology!
You see, the thing that keeps occurring to you about this is that you're suggesting it as a throwaway thing, whereas I think it'd actually be really interesting if we actually took that concept and played it straight and did the whole thing of running into the Goa'uld theoretical deity who inspired what we know of Saint Nick and has become all sanitized and rosy-cheeked and things, when we're dealing with some kind of maniacal despot who knows everything about everybody. And we now remember that as, rather than being a voyeuristic Big Brother overlord, as he knows who's been good and bad.
This is
we
listen,
that up.
I saw a thing on, I think it was Jezebel last night, where one of the commenters was talking about a conversation with her six-year-old about the goodness snake, based on the song, he knows when you've been sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for the goodness snake.
Yes!
This kid had been looking under the bed and in the cupboards to make sure she knew where it was so she could be good for it.
Oh,
that is so cute.
No,
wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. That kid gets extra cookies from me. That's
and counseling for the rest of their life.
Glorious.
That's totally a thing.
And if the goodness snake is a Gwawald.
The goodness snake, yes. The goodness snake could be anywhere or anyone.
Yeah.
Potentially what you have then is a scenario where you've got Krampus, actual traditional Gwawald, and the goodness snake, Saint Nick, who is desperately hopping from person to person, trying to counteract the effects of
Krampus, who is wandering from village to village, taking all the kids in a giant bloody sack.
Yeah, and nicking their shit. I did also come up with a really awful Easter one.
Go forth.
As
expound.
A bait and switch?
Well, mostly just as a creature comes through the gate. Mm-hmm. It's very reclusive and very fast moving.
It's a rabbit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very fast moving rabbit which lays brightly coloured eggs which hatch into other fast moving murderous rabbits. It's essentially an Easter bunny hunt.
I see.
Chocolate so, is not involved.
It's wabbit season, is what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah. It's okay. Wabbit season. Those were the two not particularly serious ideas. One of them remarkably less serious than the other.
I don't know about that. I couldn't pick it.
Yeah. I think the alien Easter bunny hunt may be the stupider of the ideas. The only other one was the slightly less traditional Christmas episode of people sitting around the fire, toasting marshmallows, possibly because the power's gone out in a storm, and so they're clustered around in the gate room, because that's where the emergency lighting is still working, telling stories. And you use it as an opportunity to essentially do a cheesy flashbacks episode of your game, probably using a completely different and much faster to build characters system, and essentially just do comedy flashbacks.
Okay.
You could do serious character building and that stuff. It doesn't have to be cheesy. It probably has to be very special.
It probably does have to be very special, but it does give you the opportunity to completely rewrite the quote-unquote opening episode, if you want. I mean, we have for the SGU game some official documentation, quote-unquote, that tells us how the gate was found, how it got working, and how we had interaction with some Jafar.
But that stuff was never played through because pilot episodes are tricky and I hate doing them.
Should we explain to the one person listening to the recording what they've missed out on? Because I think we may have broken that off.
That
could
is...
just link to the documentation in question.
Yeah. The 30-second version, because we don't want to do a let us tell you about our game, is it is a Stargate game. The setting is at a university. It's much less funded, much less military, basically a joint Air Force and academic project, so that the party is in fact half military, half student.
It reboots the whole Stargate concept.
Oh yeah, should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Anyway, now okay. we go on. Did anybody else have ideas for cheesy holiday games?
I wrote a Doe letter this morning.
Pilgrims of the Flying Temple?
Pilgrims of the Flying Temple.
That was really well, actually.
Would you like to read your letter?
Well, I actually felt that it might be a bit of a stretch, because it's not really... the setting doesn't natively lend itself to the whole Judeo-Christian thing.
It's even better as these bunch of flying Buddhists confused by the customs of these odd people who live on a planet.
Indeed. So, here's the letter. Dear Pilgrims of the Flying Temple, I come from a cluster of 12 worlds that share a holiday tradition. When the weather is coldest and there is little to do but wait until planting, we like to honour friends and family with presents. Everyone puts the gifts they want to give under a big tree on their world. One person in the cluster is chosen by lottery to deliver the presents to every house in one night, but no one must see them do it. I've been chosen to be the messenger this year, and I have no idea how to get to every house in one night. I'm the clumsiest person I know, and I am sure to wake somebody. The messenger from the previous year is supposed to help the new one, but she died in an accident, so there's no one to pass on the secrets. If I can succeed in giving everyone a wonderful holiday, my family will be given the honour of managing the traditional orchards for the year, but if I fail, I will be sent out of the cluster forever. Everyone is counting on me. Please help. Nikolaus.
That's really good.
Yeah, and that might actually have some genuine festive spirit in it. Rather than just being a horrible pastiche, which, yeah, way to bring down the tone, Tons.
That's really touching. I like that. That's clever and well written.
I'm surprised because I tossed that together in 10 minutes before Ben got here this morning.
Is awesome.
That works. We should totally play that one. And pilgrims flailing around trying to help this person and be...
Well, they mean well. They mean
That would be perfect for a Do game.
So when are you running it?
Yep.
No one runs a Do game. We get together and put the rocks down.
That's they're over there. The notebook's there and the little tiles are over there.
That's very true.
Okay, so yeah. When are we doing this?
Once you've written down the list of words.
Fuck.
That's pretty much all you have to do. But
do you reckon this is a 20-word epic, or...?
To get through over 12 planets, I think it would be. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty damn cool, yeah.
Well done.
Oh, bear in mind that in Pilgrims of the Flying Temple, these worlds are, like, thumbprint-sized.
Yep.
There could be anything from thumbprint-sized to, you know...
Yeah, but we wouldn't...
They got, like, a town each.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. It gives you an opportunity to have a couple of cracks at a couple of difficult ones.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, have things spin out of control.
Because it's Pilgrims of the Flying Temple.
And it's
things
what
always spin out of control.
Brilliant. I had a couple of ideas, but nothing actually as touching and thematic as Tonya's. I had an idea for a Unknown Armies game. Unknown Armies, for those who haven't run into it, being a game of madness and magic where the two are innately connected. And
the phrase cosmic bum fights?
Cosmic bum fights is one angle on it, yeah. But basically, in order to throw around magic and cosmic power, you have to be obsessive. The two are connected, so that mages tend to be profoundly poorly socialized freak sacks. And so the idea of having a group of PCs who are all working as mall Santas in this rundown shithole mall somewhere, and wind up getting swept up in the ongoing conflict between two people who are trying to be the incarnate avatar of Santa Claus, but having different ideas of what that means. And given it's Unknown Armies, the death toll is climbing. But you know, you could...
I kind be of like, good for the goodness snake!
The goodness snake has left home. This is Unknown Armies. There is no space for the goodness snake here. So I kind of like the idea of making it interestingly grey and horrible, so that you've got one person who is this really nice, genial person who considers that the essence of Father Christmas is the all-knowing judge.
He knows when you are sleeping.
Yes, the judge of moral failings kind of thing. And then you've got this other guy who is murderous and horrible and willing to commit any atrocity required in order to be the avatar of the spirit of giving and family. And so you've got these mall Santas caught between these two poles and basically trying to get out alive.
Okay.
And who do you help? Who do you stop? Do you try to stop either of them, both of them? It's going to, whoever wins is going to change the universe.
Or you try and reconcile
these. Who over the years have become the ultimate mall Santa.
Yes!
With these disparate ideas. Okay.
Yes!
Oh dear.
So their charge is the belief of the children who come to visit them.
Well,
is that where they're getting there?
The magic system kind of has two different branches of it. There are people who get charges, and then there are people who embody a set of ideals and actions hard enough that they start to get benefits from it. And that's an avatar path.
Right, okay, so these are avatars rather than wizards.
Yeah. They spend all year as mall Santas embodying these ideas, and now that Christmas has rolled around, they're both making their move to take the big chair and actually ascend, except more importantly than them ascending, they have to stop the other person doing it, because the other person is doing it wrong.
There can only be one.
There can be only one Santa, yes.
Sorry, I'm just imagining ho ho holy ground.
That's awful.
I was imagining a certain music video with a bunch of mall Santas. It's Pavement? Well, put it in the show notes.
Okay. Also, Please Don't Kill Me, Santa. That has a fun little music video, but...
Killers?
I can't remember. Something. So that was one idea. On one angle, just trying to survive. On the other angle, deciding how to try to shape the universe through these horrible people. The other concept that I had was something grounded in the Buffyverse, although I probably wouldn't use Cinematic Unisystem because I don't like it. But just the whole idea in Buffy moving away from Christmas as holiday games, that in the Buffyverse, vampires and demons and things stay home on Halloween because it's tacky. The that this opens things up for somebody to actually be really clever. Because it means that if you're a vampire or a demon, and you think you have a chance of committing some kind of heist, Halloween's the perfect night to do it, because it gives you plausible deniability. Other vampires and demons aren't going to be around. Humans in costumes doing dumb shit is pretty much par for the course, and so you can make a play for some kind of artifact or ritual or something, and no one who matters will know. Until the PCs get involved. The PCs being on the other side of some kind of demonic Ocean's 11 attempt that happens to be playing out over Halloween, I thought could be quite interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. That was it.
Yay! It's good, yes.
I have nothing of that caliber to relate at the moment, so...
Well, we did kind of spring this on you, so I'm sorry to...
This is what happens when three of us live together in a big sack.
And on that note...
Drinking heavily will not save you from that image.
And I'm trying.
So, well, any thoughts you had when you were coming up with this regarding the pitfalls of holiday games, apart from the toxic cuteness?
I don't think my ideas were toxic and cute.
Yeah, I think you avoided that quite handily.
It's what they do.
Well, I'm actually wondering if there is a protocol to holiday gaming. I mean, if you're campaigning with a particular group on a weekly basis, is there... Have you heard of other groups using particular protocols to...
Mostly the Christmas Death Zone for games will handily take care of that. I think it's recently since games have started to acknowledge inspiration from media, especially TV and so forth, it has become more sensible, more appropriate to have this episode. We're doing the Christmas episode. This episode we're doing the flashback episode. So right. So actually drawing it out of that sort of inspiration makes a lot more sense these days. And okay. People are playing around with meta stuff a bit more. They're not entirely built into the world that they're in.
I mean, okay.
Things like Toon and so forth did, I think they had a Christmas adventure way back when. Things with more lighthearted stuff.
Yeah, I think I've got the splat for that.
Hmm.
Not that I've ever run Toon because I never have the energy.
Few people do.
One needs to have eaten an entire barrel of Skittles before they start.
Caffeinated drinks help as well.
Mm.
So,
or possibly speed.
And horrible parody games. I'm sure there was either an adventure I remember or possibly wrote for Paranoia that had Christmas theme in it. But of course it was pretty much along the same lines as the Christmas episodes of Futurama with homicidal robots and...
Santatron.
Mm. So yeah, Christmas is probably because of the preponderance of Christmas episodes. I think it's an obvious sort of thing to take off. Halloween's a good, though not particularly local, example of a special episode. Because
you don't really do Halloween here. It's too light at night because of the whole, you know, wrong end of the world thing.
It is exactly the wrong season. It is the start of summer.
So we have kids coming round in effectively the middle of the day, still in their school uniforms, having daub tomato sauce on their face and claiming to be a zombie.
Lustless little creeps.
Yes. Well, as far as Christmas episodes go, I'd say the risk of dropping one into a game is that if it goes just really badly,
yeah,
it is potentially the sort of thing that people aren't going to be able to drop. You may be past the Christmas episode, but people are still going to remember that it happened.
It depends if your game is the sort of game you could say, all right, this episode isn't canon.
What happens at Christmas stays at Christmas.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So if your party and players feel that that's an appropriate way to have fun, cool. But I have been in groups that have completely not handle it.
When you say completely not handle it, do you mean like just get up and walk out, or do you mean struggle through but not really quite get the brain around it?
Actually, most of them would actually play it straight. They would react to the situation as there's a giant fat guy with a sleigh. We should totally kill him and take his stuff.
Oh my god, he has a sack of presents never ending.
Yeah,
wow.
I have a solution. Stop hanging out with murder hobos who also play murder hobos.
I was going to say, just hearing that description, my soul died a little.
Yeah.
You know, we killed Santa and took his magic sleigh and his sack of never-ending presents.
And rode off on his flying reindeer.
And then we got into a 6-hour argument about how much gold it was worth and how to fence it.
It's not just the avarice that some people will hue close enough to the game world to say, we deal with strange shit all the time, the flying fat man is not out of our scope of expectations, and they will stick to that. It's more the idea that they don't see it to be necessary to leave the idiom of their game to do a special episode. There's no such thing as a bad way to have fun, except for Rifts.
I've never played Rifts. I'd kind of like to.
The books were full of cool pictures and rules that can never be revised because of word of law.
It would be interesting, I think, to have a go at rifts. I am, in this case, loath to pan something I have no experience of.
I'm just mainly curious how our forum can devolve into a Kevin C. and Beta focus flame war between our listener. And that's where the thought ends.
Our listener is a conflicted person when it's grand rifts. As are we all. They both hate and love it because they hate and love themselves.
Yeah, this is slightly creepy.
Okay.
We don't really have other holidays that we can do this year. We get sideswiped by Halloween because of American media cultural imperialism.
Yay!
We don't do Thanksgiving because our intercultural genocides are of a different flavour.
How would you do Waitangi Day gaming?
Badly.
Yes. We'll provide some links about Waitangi Day.
Do they still have YouTube videos of the lady throwing her t-shirt at the Queen?
Probably. Bound to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a protest thing.
Yes, I cannot imagine what a Waitangi Day themed game would be like. How do you Everyone wrap a game around an agreement between indigenous and colonial?
That neither of them were particularly sure had been translated correctly.
And hadn't been, but yeah.
Yeah.
It still seems like a good idea, sort of.
Hmm.
It's a mess, but yeah.
Actually, I have an idea for that. Shut up, brain. No. Okay, what you have is fictionalizing things makes things fun and in no way depressing. So, you have a holiday area on a moon where there is an indigenous population, but they don't actually use this area particularly much.
Okay.
The moon in question was annexed by Earth before we knew anybody lived there, and a treaty of sorts was bashed out long, long ago, and it's been contentious ever since. Every year, on the anniversary of having got to this moon, leaders from around the world go to the resort to pay their respects to the local tribal leaders. And perhaps one year, I'm still working this out in my head as I'm talking, which is why this sounds so stilted. Perhaps one year you have a contingent of the locals basically saying, okay, you get to come here, we want the right to go to your place. We want access to your spaceport, we want access to all of this kind of stuff. And if you don't give it to us, these guys don't get to go home.
It doesn't seem as festive. It sounds interesting. It doesn't seem as festive as it might be.
Waitangi Day is not a festive day. It is a day of shame.
Not undeservedly so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the advantage of having family who arrived after the treaty was signed.
Well, yeah.
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you don't get to talk.
Anyway, functionally, Waitangi Day does not serve the same purpose as Thanksgiving in the US has picked up. Then again, Thanksgiving in the US shouldn't have the context that's picked up, but I'll stop there.
Anyway! Yes,
Waitangi Day is honest in its awkwardness.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving did give us the phrase, eating so much that you produce a food baby.
And the next day, the food baby's evil twin. And I'm stopping right there.
Oh, good.
Shall we wrap this one up? Does anybody have anything else?
There was a game that I've heard of being played. I think this comes to us via Ursula Vernon.
Yes!
A game that her friend runs on a yearly basis, I believe. I could be wrong on that, I don't know. Where the players are gingerbread people. I believe the original game is designed for kids. I do not know the name of the original game, so if our listener knows, please tell us. But the idea is that they come alive on Christmas Eve and are supposed to get everything ready for the perfect Christmas Day for the family, and if it all goes well, they get to be real people next year or something. I don't know. Something wonderful happens to them. The playthrough that I've read goes horribly wrong because they are horrible people. Lovely, horrible people who chose to be a revolutionary who believes that Christmas is fascism and set about burning the tree.
There were shenanigans.
There were shenanigans.
Shenanigans unfolded, and it was hilarious and awesome to behold. And
I believe a lot of Nog may have been involved in the play.
It has that vibe.
But I want to know what this game is so that we can play it ourselves, although possibly not with the same
alcohol set content.
Alcohol content or character set.
You can look up a sort of an transcript of the games and put it in the show notes.
I think she gave us the title.
I think she might have done.
Okay.
But we can certainly put up the transcript.
I think she just blamed
Otter. Yes. But we can put up the funny bit.
That's true.
So that people can hopefully find it in person.
This isn't specifically festive, but I'm sure you could do something with an Anzac Day game. It would not be very happy, though.
No, it would not. not.
Well, we have options. There's respectful or happy.
That is true. They are.
Or there's non-respectful and horrifying. That's the third option.
Yes.
Yeah. So respectful or happy or neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely work something about the sun coming up and how it isn't a particularly good thing on certain days in history.
Realistically, for the New Zealand context, you're looking at Easter or Christmas or maybe New Year's gaming.
Mm. Actually, I ran into this is tangential from real world holidays, but the video game Dishonored, they spend a great deal of time and effort thinking about the world, and there was an element of it that I thought was really interesting, and that there is a holiday in setting called the Fugue Feast that lasts for something like a month. And
that is a lot of food.
Well, it's not just about food. It's basically the year ends,
yeah,
and then there is a month, and then the year begins, and everything that happens in that month in between doesn't happen. Nothing counts.
Everybody forgets about it, or just nobody writes it down?
No, but it is unwritten by gods and men. Laws that are broken in this month do not count. It is a month where society says, fuck it.
Heard of people doing a night of this for Carnivale.
Okay, maybe I've got it wrong. Anyway, but yeah, there's...
I think it's just taken to its logical extreme.
Mm.
Yeah, there's the... current name is it? We're the servants of the lords and so
Lord
forth.
Lord of Misrule. The Knight of Misrule.
Knight of Misrule. But yeah, but for running for an entire month is just about dark enough from what I've heard about Dishonored. Interesting.
Hmm. So, that was tangential.
It kind of was.
Have we run out of things to say?
Maybe.
It feels like it.
All right. Should we call it at that point? All right, that was Big Red Couch.
Happy holidays, people.
We just did a holiday special.
Yep.
What?
We totally did.
Ho, ho, ho.
Indeed. Good night to all and to all.
Merry Christmas and happy gaming.
Yeah, that works.
Next time on the Big Red Couch.
Good laugh.
Raised by Space Wolves.
Woo!
Guess who's been waiting for that one?
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to hoarde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!